Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, hello America, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Wow, do we have a lot going on. A lot happening. We are expecting a lot of breaking news during today's program. And folks, we're going to bring it all to you as it happens and provide you with excellent, immediate, real-time analysis. You're not going to get that anywhere else except right here, noon to 3 Eastern on the Todd Starnes radio program. So today, President Biden is heading down to Georgia, and he is expected to make a lot of news. And there's a lot going on with Stacey Abrams as well. So you would think that Stacey Abrams, who wants to be the next governor, well, actually, she thinks she is the governor. She has never conceded her race, by the way, when she lost to Brian Kemp. But Stacey Abrams, you would expect that she would be on the stage with President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, right? I mean, this is a big deal. You've got the leaders of your party in your home state. You are running for governor, and you would think that you would want those photogenic moments, right, where you're standing side by side with the guy who is leading your party. But Stacey Abrams has taken a pass. So Stacey Abrams says, you know, sorry, I can't be there. Got other things going on today. Got to get my hair did. Got to get my nails done. Can't show up. I've already got plans on the agenda. So Stacey Abrams will not be attending for some sort of an undisclosed scheduling conflict. We don't know what that is. But it's pretty darn entertaining because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are so toxic, ladies and gentlemen, that no Democrat running for election or reelection wants them anywhere near them. As a matter of fact, I would not be surprised if Stacey Abrams is over in Alabama today just to put some distance. Got to have the distance. By the way, I'll just throw this out there. Kamala Harris, a couple of days ago, we didn't talk about this much because, you know, it's unfortunately Kamala Harris and the Democrats, the only card they have to play is the race card. Well, maybe the sex and gender revolutionary card, but predominantly it's the race card. And Kamala Harris says, well, the reason why nobody likes her is because she's a black woman. Is she a black woman today or an Indian woman? We don't know. It's, you know what? It's whatever she wants to identify as, because we celebrate that on this radio program. You want to be purple, then by golly, be purple. But anyway, if Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris have been blaming everything on race these days, if Stacey Abrams had been a white Democrat woman, she would have called that behavior racist. I mean, so again, Stacey Abrams wants to put as much distance between herself and the failed policies of the Biden administration, and that's what's happening here. But something much bigger and much more important that's going to impact all of us on the national level, Biden is going to announce today that he wants to abolish the filibuster in the Senate. You say, Todd, why is that a big deal? Because the Democrats are wounded animals at this moment in history. And between now and November, we have a lot of territory to cover, a lot of ground to cover, and a lot of really bad things can happen in this country between now and November, when hopefully the Republicans are going to take back control of the House and the Senate. But between now and then, if there is no filibuster, you better believe that every single far-left, progressive, socialist, communist piece of propaganda and legislation that goes through the House of Representatives and the Senate will go to the president's desk. So this is a very dangerous thing that's about to happen. Now, Mitch McConnell says that there are going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences. That's what he says. But I don't believe it. We shall see. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, our good friend Paul Shanklin says Stacey Abrams said she won the game last night. Good for you, Stacey. Go kiss that championship trophy. So we've got Marjorie Taylor Greene coming on. She's going to weigh in on this. Also, there's some crazy stuff going down with the Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney's Office. MSDNC is reporting that they are pursuing criminal charges against President Trump on vote tampering is the charge there. Let's listen to this is Rachel Madcow over on MSDNC yesterday. Cut number six, please.
We can report exclusively tonight that attorneys for former President Donald Trump have now met in person with the Fulton County District Attorney's Office in Georgia. Now, it was months ago that we first learned that the prosecutor who leads that office, a prosecutor named Fannie Willis, had opened a criminal investigation into alleged violations of Georgia state law that occurred when elections officials in Georgia were pressured and intimidated after the last presidential election that they should effectively falsify the results of that state's election. It was a year ago, January 3rd last year, when the Washington Post published this shocking audio recording of an extraordinary hour-long phone call that then-President Trump made personally to Georgia's top elections official, telling him he needed to find exactly the number of votes in the state that would allow Trump to falsely be declared the winner there. Now, in Georgia, as in every state in the country, pressuring elections officials to interfere with the lawful administration of an election, pressuring election officials to change election results, that, of course, is a crime. This state prosecutor's office in Fulton County, Georgia, opened that investigation under Georgia state law. Pressuring or intimidating election officials is a Georgia state crime. It's a crime in every state in the country, and of course, it's also a federal crime. But while U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has made sort of vague, patriotic statements about no one being above the law and federal prosecutors following the evidence wherever it leads, so far there's no evidence that federal prosecutors are investigating that call or any other reported instances of pressure that the president personally put on Georgia election officials about the conduct of their official duties.
All right, so enough of that. I don't know how people listen to this. This woman. I just don't. That's Rachel Madcow, MSDNC. So we'll see how all this plays out. Do not be surprised if the district attorney tries to go after Trump and file these, go after and get this criminal indictment. It's probably going to happen in New York State as well. I don't think they have anything on the president. Based on the information we've seen, that I have personally seen, I did not see any criminal activity in the conversations, the phone conversations the president had with the Georgia Secretary of State. None whatsoever. By the way, since we are in Atlanta, and just big picture here, you think anybody in the state of Georgia, and we have a lot of listeners in Georgia, do you think anybody in the state of Georgia today is going to care one iota that Joe Biden is in their state? People are still celebrating the big victory last night, the National Football Championship. They could care less about Joe Biden. And what's her face? Kamala Harris. Oh, is that racist? It may be. I don't know. We'll check in with the VP's office. But there is another story around here. You folks in Atlanta, you guys are about to go through a process of socialism. Now, here is the story. This is from WXIA-TV. That's 11 Alive in Atlanta. Atlanta will be instituting a pilot basic income program. They tried this out in California, Stockton, California, where everybody got a certain amount of money from the government. Atlanta will be instituting a pilot basic income program. This is coming from the mayor's office. They will provide 300 residents with $500 a month over a year. The city said it would be available to people who are at least 18 years old and live below 200% of the federal poverty line. You know what the federal poverty line is right now, folks? $53,000 a year for a household of four. So if you have four people in your household, you make $53,000 a year, you are considered to be in poverty, living in poverty. Now, if you are a household of one, that's $26,000, and you're going to be able to get $300 a month from the government. So the taxpayers are going to be forking over $300 for you. So this is happening in Atlanta, and it's our understanding this is happening in other cities around the nation as well. So you better pay very close attention to what's happening here, folks, as we put the puzzle pieces together. They are slowly, slowly dipping our big toes into the socialism swimming pool. And that's how they do it. And sooner or later, it'll be 3,000 people, and then it'll be 4,000. And then the entire city will be getting a basic income as businesses shut down. People become more reliant upon the government, and soon all of their income is coming by way of a government check from Uncle Sam, supported by, funded by, the taxpayers of the great United States of America. Do you see how all this is going to play out? It's very fascinating. So, look, we've got a lot going on. The TSA releasing their top 10 list of weird items found at checkpoints around the country. Also, Dr. Fauci is trying to turn monkeys into transgender monkeys. We'll explain that as well. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Shout out to all of our great listeners in the state of Georgia celebrating their first national championship since, what, it's been 1980? Back old good old Herschel Walker. Remember Larry Munson making the great calls back in the day? Anyway, a great game last night, and well done to the Georgia Bulldog faithful. It's my understanding that there were thousands of people that actually watched the game from UGA instead of making the trek up to Indianapolis. But a great game last night. And one of my favorite, I got to hand it to Kirby Smart. He's a great coach. Kirby Smart was interviewed right after the big win. You got to hear what he had to say. Cut five.
Okay, first, Kirby, I got to know, what does that trophy taste like?
Well, I didn't get a full taste, but I can tell you this. There's going to be some property torn up in Indianapolis tonight, baby!
Yes, sir. I think everybody was well-behaved, though, So anyway, congratulations, ladies and gentlemen, there in Georgia Bulldog country. And I know you guys have to be celebrating today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming to Mike Huckabee coming up. Also, Congressman Ralph Norman and Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be here as well. Real quick, give you an update. We've got a lot of listeners in Missouri, and there's a big controversy going on in St. Francis County. They've got a brand new county seal they are redesigning. And the county seal includes an eagle, an American flag, and a shovel. But that's not what triggered the godless heathens over at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That's a big atheist group in Wisconsin. They got very upset because the county seal also includes a Bible, a cross, and the words, "In God We Trust." And as we all know, nothing sets off the godless heathens like the baby Jesus or the Holy Bible. So anyway, they fired off this nasty letter to the county, and they're demanding that they change the county seal. They say that the inclusion of a Bible and a cross and the words "In God We Trust" are illegal and inappropriate. They say that St. Francis County is not a Christian county, Missouri is not a Christian state, and the United States is not a Christian nation. Now, let me say this, and hear me on this. I've written two books on this issue about religious liberty in America, and I am very confident that our nation was meant to be a Christian nation. And I believe the reason why we have all this chaos in America right now is because we are no longer a Christian nation because the left has shoved God out of the picture. And when you shove God out of the picture, what was it that President John Adams, our second president, said? That our nation, our Constitution, is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. Well, if you've got a bunch of immoral, irreligious people running around, running the government, and shoving God out of the, guess what happens? The Constitution falls apart. And I truly believe, based on all of my readings of the Founding Fathers thus far in my life, that there was not an atheist in the bunch. Now, their belief in God may differ from person to person. Their doctrine may be different. But by and large, everybody agreed that we were a nation that was blessed of God. So now you've got these good people in Missouri who are being hammered by these out-of-town atheists. And so the county commissioner said, well, look, we're not artists. This is as good as we can do. If you atheists can do better, then send us your recommendations. So don't be surprised if they remove the Bible and the cross and replace it with a photo of Dr. Fauci in a booster shot, because that's what the left seems to be worshiping these days. So we'll keep you updated on that story. We've got the story up. Caleb Park writing about that story over on ToddStearns.com. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, coming up, we're going to be talking to one of our listeners out of Maine who has a fascinating story about what's happened. You know, they got rid of all of the unvaccinated healthcare workers across America. And now a lot of hospitals are really in a lurch. They can't find enough people to work the hospitals. As a matter of fact, one hospital fired all their unvaccinated nurses. And get this, folks, they're now calling back the unvaccinated nurses, asking them to come back, even though they're unvaccinated. And they're paying them almost twice as much money. So this is really, I mean, look, I'm a Baptist. I don't believe in karma, but wow, These poor people thought they were losing their jobs. Now they're getting twice as much pay. Anyway, hang tight. We got to go to the phone lines when we come back. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number, by the way. 844-747-8868. Hey, our website, got to read the great stories Caleb's working on, ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back, America. I'm a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Stearns. That's MyPillow.com/Stearns, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Stearns. All right, so huge news up on Capitol Hill. We're breaking at this hour is a big hearing. You got Dr. Rochelle Walensky up there, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and they're getting the what for. We have some incredible audio and stories at ToddStearns.com for you to check out. Just unbelievable. Dr. Rand Paul, especially, going toe-to-toe with Dr. Fauci. But I got to give it to Senator Tuberville, who flat out asked about these adverse effects. And he says he wants to know if doctors are really getting confused. So, for example, when you get vaccinated and you walk out of the doctor's office and you get hit by a car, that death would go into the VAERS system. And that's we've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. And again, they're telling us what almost a million people in America have died from the China virus, and they do not differentiate. Early on, we were talking to county coroners. We were talking to local doctors that were telling us on this radio program that people who were getting shot were being classified as a China virus death. There was actually a story out, I believe, in Denver where a guy got hit by a bus, and sure enough, his death was tied to COVID. So some great questioning, and we're gonna bring some audio from that to you a little bit later on. I want to get to the phones, though. Roger, listening to us on WLOB in Maine, wants to bring us up to speed on an issue there. Roger, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to share with you a story I heard this morning on WLOB. Ray was on and related a story from up in central Maine. St. Mary's Medical had so many staff out with COVID that they got permission from the state evidently to recall their staff members that have COVID. They are not recalling any of their unvaccinated people that left.
Is that right? So how are things, I mean, are you guys facing shortages of healthcare workers up there?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, indeed, we are.
I can tell you here in the Memphis area, the problem is everybody and their brothers going to the ER to get their China virus test. And nobody's going to a local doctor. They're not going to the urgent cares. They're clogging up all the emergency rooms. And then when people actually have a legitimate health problem, those people can't get any help. All right, Roger, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So we've got Rand Paul and we've got Tommy Tuberville, among others, that are going after Fauci right now up on Capitol Hill. Senator Ted Cruz is also up on Capitol Hill, and he is grilling the FBI about who was at the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Let's take a listen.
I want to turn to the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Why not? Why can't you answer that? That seems to me to be the most pressing question of the day. Why is it the FBI refuses, ladies and gentlemen, to say how many FBI agents were involved and in what capacity they were involved? I mean, at this point, everybody who was involved has either been arrested or charged. So it's not like there's some sort of another conspiracy about to happen. There's not another attack planned. We're over a year removed from the riot. And from day one, we have been asking how many FBI agents, how many rogue agents were involved in the planning and the execution of whatever happened on January the 6th? How many FBI agents were actually there? And I'd like to know why the FBI will not answer questions from United States senators. I get it. Fine. They don't want to come on my program. They don't want to sit here and answer questions, legitimate questions that we have. That's one thing. But to sit there on Capitol Hill and refuse to answer. Play that again.
To the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
She can't answer. They don't want to answer. They refuse to answer. So let me help you understand why the FBI refuses to answer. Because they were involved. They were involved in the planning. They were involved in the execution. And I would be willing to wager not one, not two, not even three, but a week's worth of Chick-fil-A sandwiches that the individual, the mystery man that left those alleged pipe bombs in front of the RNC and the DNC, the one that nobody was able to catch. Nobody knows who that person is. Nobody wants to talk about it. There's no active manhunt underway for that individual. I'd be willing to bet that person, also an FBI agent. Now, yeah, you can call me a conspiracy theorist if you like to, but that's my theory because nothing else makes any sense. Now, you just think about this. You've got the two major political parties in the United States of America, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. You've got their headquarters in Washington, D.C. If we are to believe what was originally reported, someone planted pipe bombs with the intent of blowing up those buildings. Many people could have been killed had that happened. But fortunately, the pipe bombs did not explode. We don't even know if they're pipe bombs. They told us they were pipe bombs, but we really never saw for ourselves. We just took them at their word. Now, you just think about this. If in fact, based on what's happened in this country from 9/11 on forward, if you had somebody that was plotting to blow up the RNC and the DNC, don't you think that there would have been a massive manhunt for that person? Don't you think they would have gone out of their way to try to find the video? It took them weeks and weeks and weeks to find the video of the guy. And nobody's talking about it. Not even on the anniversary. When Nancy Pelosi, with the giant eyebrows, had the Broadway show choir performing up at the Capitol building, doing the jazz hands, not once did anybody say anything about the attack at the RNC and the DNC. So one of two things here. There was not an attack. It was all staged. Or they don't want you to know who was actually behind all of this. But it's very odd. And again, they don't want to answer questions. And this is a legitimate question. How many FBI agents were involved on January the 6th? And kudos to Ted Cruz for at least asking the questions that nobody else is willing or has the man parts to ask.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Senator Ted Cruz continuing to grill the FBI, demanding to know their involvement in the U.S. Capitol riot. And it is, we're going to play this audio for you, and it's a bit of a lengthy clip, but you need to hear this because these are the questions that the mainstream media ought to be asking. These are the questions, by the way, that not even Fox News Channel is asking. Nobody's asking these questions. But they need to be addressed. And the reason why is going back to, and it's really not even the attempted kidnapping of the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. That has nothing. No. Yes, we know now. We now know that was all contrived by the FBI. They're the ones who came up with the idea. They went out there. They tried to recruit people for their kidnapping plan. And then they tried to execute it. So it goes beyond that. It goes back to what the FBI tried to do to President Trump with the Russia collusion story and trying to thwart his presidency. So here's Ted Cruz grilling the FBI. This is a long, so just hang tight. You've got to listen to this incredibly compelling audio and testimony on Capitol Hill.
I want to turn to the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, "Tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol." This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, "Fed, fed, 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 fed." Ms. Sanborn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next day, on January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
Shortly thereafter, the FBI put out a public post listing, seeking information on individuals connected with violent crimes on January 6th. Among those individuals, in the bottom there, is Mr. Epps. The FBI publicly asked for information, identifying, offering cash rewards leading to the arrest. This was posted, and then, sometime later, magically, Mr. Epps disappeared from the public posting. According to public records, Mr. Epps has not been charged with anything. No one's explained why a person videoed urging people to go to the Capitol, a person whose conduct was so suspect the crowd believed he was a Fed, would magically disappear from the list of people the FBI was looking at. Ms. Sanborn, a lot of Americans are concerned that the federal government deliberately encouraged illegal and violent conduct on January 6th. My question to you, and this is not an ordinary law enforcement question, this is a question of a public accountability. Did federal agents or those in service of federal agent actively encourage violent and criminal conduct on January 6th?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Thank you.
Wow. Folks, you are not going to hear that on any other talk program. You're not going to hear that on the mainstream media. You're not going to see it in the news tonight. But these are the questions that need to be asked. These are the questions that need to be addressed, because something awful and terrible happened on that day, and we do need to get to the bottom of it. Now, I know that everybody's focused on President Trump, but what if this really was concocted by the FBI? Is that remotely possible? Do you find it peculiar? Do you find it odd that the FBI representative refused to answer any of the questions? And these are legitimate questions. This issue of Ray Epps. Now, here's a guy on video encouraging people to go and break into the Capitol and cause violence and destruction. It seems to me, common sense would tell me, that this guy would be on an FBI wanted poster somewhere. This guy should be charged with crimes. I mean, lots of other people have been charged with crimes. Some people were charged with crimes simply for following the directions of the police officers to walk into that building. But not Ray Epps, not the guy who was encouraging people to break the law. He was not charged. His face was removed from the FBI posters. So what really happened? And are we ever going to get to the bottom of it? Look, I hope that we do. Because whatever that was, it divided this country. And that needs to be addressed. That needs to be fixed. Honestly, folks, it sounds like the FBI staged Senator Ted Cruz's domestic terrorist event. That's what it sounds like to me. What say you? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, Joy Reid. She's about to be unemployed. They're getting rid of her show over on MSDNC. Maybe she could get a job over at, CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Judge Joe Brown, always good to hear from you. Thank you for clarifying that, sir. Joy Brown writing about the January 6th riot. This was just posted, and this is on DailyWire.com. Joy Reid feared that the masses of Trump supporters would not, in fact, stop at the U.S. Capitol, but that they would go to the Black History Museum and they would vandalize the Black History Museum. That was her greatest worry on January 6th. She says, I can remember every moment of that day, really, and thinking to myself, my God, I hope these marauding masses of MAGA supporters don't find the Black History Museum and ransack it. That was the first thing that struck me as I saw them, you know, heading toward the Capitol and starting to bash their way in. Ah, yes, it's always about race with these morons. All right, look, got to take a break here. Hey, we've got Governor Huckabee coming up, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congressman Ralph Norman as well, and your calls. Hey, ToddStearns.com. Don't forget to head over there. Check out our great stories. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love
this American ride.
Have you heard this crazy story out of Texas? There was a lady who was going up to one of the drive-thru China virus testing sites, and she had her kid in the trunk. So she, no, I'm not making this up. She was charged with felony endangerment. Apparently, she's a school teacher in the area. She found the reason why the kid was in the trunk is because her child had tested positive for the China virus, and she was very concerned about getting the virus. So she locked the kid in the trunk. Grace, would you lock Merlot in the trunk if you were COVID positive?
No, I would not.
Well, it's a dog. You know, the dogs get the virus, apparently.
Yeah, well, I'm not giving it to her or vice versa, so.
The teenager was not hurt.
Well, that's good, but I'm sure that was very uncomfortable.
Police said, but if somebody rear-ended you, the kid would have been, you know, that would have been not good. But anyway, so the story now is all of the people at the Cypress Falls High School are defending the teacher, and they're saying she has a heart of gold.
Wow.
And they're putting up signs in her yard that say, "We appreciate you. Your students have your back."
Man, well, I'd be afraid of being put in the trunk of her car.
The woman put her child in the trunk of a car. I just don't understand.
I don't either.
You know who would is our good friend, the former governor of Arkansas, and a wise voice for America, Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Governor, how are you?
Now, Todd, here you are talking about a kid in the trunk of a car, which I would assure you is much safer than a kid in the back of a truck bed where I spent most of my childhood riding, and I bet you rode a few miles yourself in the back end of a pickup truck.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. We had a guy's night out at the radio station last night, and we were talking about our first cars, and my first car was my grandpa's 1974 El Camino pickup truck with the, you know, truck?
Yep.
And yep. And you're right. A lot of Baptist young people were riding around in the back of that back in the day.
Of course they were.
but you know, Governor, it's further evidence that the country, they've lost their ever-loving minds, and a lot of people have just bought into this barrage of, you know, you're going to die, you got to mask up, you got to socially distance. People are just gone flat crazy.
Well, they have. When I pull up at a stoplight and I look over at the car next to me and a person is in the car by himself with a mask on, with the windows rolled up, I really do wonder, did he just forget that he had the mask on? Is he trying to virtue signal to the rest of us how pure he is? Or is he just a complete lunatic? I don't know which it is. And I sometimes want to roll my window down and say, "Hey, partner, do you have any gray Coupon?" Because I just wonder, what is wrong with a person who thinks that he's somehow safer driving around in the car by himself with a stinking mask on? I don't get it.
No, it's a great question you ask. I mean, here in Memphis, you can sort of tell. I mean, you know, the more liberal parts of town, everybody's masked up. But for the most part, everybody else is going about their lives. I know that drives the folks over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Ryan Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. That drives them nuts. But by and large, I think people, Governor, and I don't know what it's like in Arkansas, but I think people are ready to move on. 844-747-8868. I think we lost Governor Huckabee. Let's see. He may be calling back in. So, guys, if we can get that situated. But we had a little phone issue today. Our apologies about that. But Governor Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And, Governor, I think we got you back.
Yeah.
I hope Judge Joe Brown didn't scare you. Do we still have you, Governor? Okay, we just have a bad phone connection with the governor, so let's put him on. We're going to put him on hold, and we'll get that all sorted out. In the meantime, at this hour, we have two dueling hearings up on Capitol Hill. You've got President Biden, who is heading to Georgia. Up on Capitol Hill, you have Rand Paul going toe-to-toe with the patron saint of Wuhan, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and then you had Ted Cruz grilling the FBI over the January 6th riot and demanding to know the FBI's involvement in that particular incident. Meanwhile, Fox News Channel has a breaking news story, and we were going to ask the governor about this. So if you remember the letter that was sent out by the National School Board Association telling school boards to treat moms and dads as domestic terrorists. You guys remember that? I know we've got a lot of listeners in Virginia, and you guys were the focus of these letters that went out. Now, the Biden administration flat out denied any involvement in this at all. But now, according to the exclusive reporting of Fox News, that's not true. They actually had the evidence. They had the email with the education secretary himself, Miguel Cardona. I believe that is the correct pronunciation. You had Secretary Cardona soliciting a letter from the National School Boards Association that compared protesting parents to domestic terrorists. The email exchange indicates that Cardona was more involved with the letter's creation than previously known. President Biden's Department of Justice relied on the NSBA letter, which suggested using the Patriot Act against parents and creating its own memo directing the FBI to mobilize in support of local education officials. This is a very disturbing development, but we all knew it was true. We all knew where this was coming from. I mean, didn't anybody really believe the Biden administration didn't know anything about this? The only good that came out of this is so many states are pulling out of the National School Board Association that they may go bankrupt. They may go belly up. But this is no surprise. Elections have consequences, ladies and gentlemen. And when you elect Democrats, they will strip away your constitutional rights, or at least they will try to. But here's what's really weird about this time in American history. It's not so much the Democrats tried to strip away our constitutional rights. It's that we allowed them to. They tried, and we said, yeah, sure, here you go. I'm working on my new book. It'll be out September, October, later this year. And I talk about one of the greatest things that happened as a result of the China virus pandemic. And here it is in a nutshell. Moms and dads woke up. Moms and dads took a pause. And they were able to see what their kids were learning in the public school. They were able to take a look at the anti-American propaganda that these teachers were shoveling into the brains of our kids. And moms and dads said, wait a second, this is not right. Something's not right here. And you had regular folks, and our radio show, we're made up of regular folks. And the regular folks rose up and said, we're not going to tolerate this. Now, something very interesting happened. Many of you were able to facilitate change in your neighborhoods, in your local school boards. You did not have to burn down a single building. You didn't have to go and pillage and plunder a single Walgreens. You showed up, you said your piece, you launched petition drives, and in many cases, you voted these sorry so-and-sos out of office. And that's what we have to do, every single one of us. It just happened here in Memphis, Tennessee. We had a group of Turning Point USA students. They were on the program yesterday. These kids stood up to the administrators at the University of Memphis. And as a result of their bravery and their courage, they were able to right a wrong and they were able to stop the university from teaching critical race theory. I mean, that's what it's really all about here. So that's what we do here on this program. Look, we got to take a break. I apologize about the interview with Governor Huckabee. We'll get him back sometime this week. He comes on a weekly basis for all of our new listeners. Before we go to break, though, I do want to remind you to download our free app. This is vitally important. Again, if you want a lot of radio stations, they don't carry our show yet. So we're in the stages of growing the program. So I want to encourage you to download our app. You can do that on the radio station that I own, KWAM Radio, KWAMRadio.com. Click on the app. You'll be able to sign up. You can listen to our program wherever you are around America, and it's free of charge. We don't share your information. We just want you to sign up and join our growing radio family. Not only are you going to get my show, you're going to get Sebastian Gorka, Armstrong and Getty, Lars Larson, Larry Elder, our friends at Red Eye Radio. You're going to love the lineup of conservative hosts we have on the KWAM radio app. All right, let's go to the phones here before we go to break. Baltimore, Mark on the line. Mark, what's going on?
Well, good afternoon, and how are you doing? This is a real honor and privilege to talk to you and Grace.
Well, you're very kind to say that. Thank you.
And years ago, well, it's all because of our program director, Sean Casey. A couple years ago, he put you on in the 5 to 6 a.m. hour. They were carrying another show, and I just was able to hear 1 hour of it. But now, back in October, there was a program from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and they took that off, and thank goodness they put you on, because number one, I enjoyed following you. I only heard the hour of it during the 2020 election time, et cetera. Your content and breadth of info and value interspersed with humor is always wonderful. And I missed you. A couple years ago, you came to the DoubleTree at the Pikesville Hilton for a book signing, but I missed it. I wasn't able to get there that time.
Mark, I have to tell you, we had the best time, and it was a great crowd, and met a lot of the great WCBM listeners. And Sean Casey is a great American patriot, and we love him. And we love hearing from our listeners in Baltimore. They carry our show on delay, and one of these days we might get bumped up into the noon to three slot live there on WCBM. I think if enough WCBM callers tell Mr. Casey about that, they just might consider making a change.
I love your open too with Toby Garth and the American Ride, and they all also run your news and comment in the morning and at night, just before the 6 p.m. news. So it's always excellent. I like how a caller talked that you should talk in Hebrew. That's funny. And then I like the story. Your stories are so good, too, about you were getting ready to throw the Vidalia onion at the person who said,
wow,
you're Todd Thorne.
Mark, you're a hardcore listener out there.
And you also have wonderful, if you're not there, I like when you're driving out on the road and call in and phone in, but when you always have good fill-ins, Jeff Stein and Mary Walter, and I think I missed one or two from the station, Tom Van Horn, I believe.
Tim Van Horn, you know, that's close enough. We'll call him Tom. Mark, thank you. You just made our day, and it's always great to hear from our listeners. Whether people say good things or bad, but we especially like it when you say kind things. And you know what, Mark? Here's what I want to do. Grace, let's get Mark's address. And Mark, I'd like to send you a copy of our latest book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl.
I'll have some good breakfast.
Well, great recipes in there, so you'll enjoy it.
I know.
All right. Well, Mark, we're going to put you on hold, and God bless you, and thank you for calling in, and God bless all of our listeners all over America. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, Governor Gavin Newsom, back in the news. The governor wants to use your tax dollars to provide free health care to illegal aliens. This is from the Washington Examiner. Ryan King is the news reporter. California Governor Gavin Newsom proposed making his state the first in the nation to extend universal health care to all low-income residents, including illegals. And that's starting up in January of 2024. The governor's plan would take $213 billion of your tax money and would use that money to provide free health care for all of these illegals. The governor says, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it. We said it was going to take a few years, but we're committed to doing it. There you go, folks. And you want to know why so many people are packing up the U-Haul and getting the heck out of Dodge. So I'm curious how you feel about this. If you are in a state controlled by a Democrat and a Democrat legislature, there's a good chance they will follow this blueprint. I mean, that's what Newsom wants you to do. I guarantee you he came up with this plan while he was eating over at the French Laundry without his face mask on while the rest of you folks were locked inside your homes. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Marcy, listening to us on W or KWAM, our flagship station. Hey, Marcy, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, I've been saying this to my friends and to people I have to deal with, my mother's in a nursing home, that they need to read the story, The Emperor Has No Clothes, when it concerns COVID, or China flu, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're pretty flexible here, but I prefer calling it the China virus.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. Go ahead.
We'll do. Yeah, I know it does. But nobody listened to me because they don't want to think that they've been had. And my mother is in a nursing home. I have to go to this nursing home and visit her. And because I won't get vaccinated, I get treated like garbage by these people. That's the shame thing that everybody's talking about. Let's shame them.
Marcy, and explain to us, what do you mean they treat you like, how do they treat you like trash?
Well, if I come in, did you sign in? Did you sign in properly? And when I leave, did you sign in out properly? Where's your mask? And it's on my face. And I'm like, really? And they treat my mother the same way. And I had to get her vaccinated, even though I didn't want to. This is the shaming is going on. And nobody sees that this is just not as bad. I watched Fauci talking with Rand Paul. He couldn't even match him.
No, he was shaking. Marcy, I am so sorry that this is happening to you. But I suspect it's happening to a lot of other people as well. Look, Marcy, I wish we could talk longer, but they're going to cut us off here. But you're right about that. I mean, Rand Paul had Dr. Fauci literally shaking in his seat. Got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Thank you for listening and taking 3 hours out of your day to hang out with us. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Just curious, as you start to put together, start to formulate in your mind, what is the most important issue facing this country as we move into the midterm elections? What is the number one issue? Now, there is a new poll out from Associated Press. John Rigliuzzo is the author of this. A new poll finds Americans' political priorities have shifted away from China virus-related concerns and toward the economy. The poll, conducted by Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research, found 37% of Americans named the China virus pandemic as one of the top five priorities they want the federal government to address in 2022. That is a steep drop from the 53% who named it a priority at the beginning of 2021. So I'm curious for you as an American, as a voter, what is it that's compelling you to get out there and go vote and participate in the 2022 midterm elections? 844-747-8868. Want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. A very happy Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia Bulldogs national champions. Marjorie, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Todd, and go Dogs. I'm so proud of our Georgia Bulldogs. That was such a great win last night.
You know, it was a great team, and I thought the coach did a terrific job. The players really, it was one of these, made for TV movie moments, and I thought both teams just played a great game, and thank God they beat Alabama. As a Tennessee fan, thank you.
Well, it's a great day to be a Georgia Bulldog, and it's a great day to be a Georgian. You know, we're champions twice now. We got our Atlanta Braves and our UGA Bulldogs. So I'm a Georgia grad, so I'm very proud today.
Marjorie, a lot happening in the news today, and a lot happening in Georgia. President Biden, the vice president, on the way down. People are stunned that Stacey Abrams will not be sharing a stage with the president today. Are you surprised by that?
No, not at all. I'm not surprised. I think everyone sees the writing on the wall. Stacey Abrams, she's got big plans in the future. Not only does she want to be governor of Georgia, but she'd also like to be president of the United States. And she's just watching how everything plays out. She's running for governor of Georgia right now, but I definitely think you could see her hop into a presidential primary if Joe Biden's mental decline continues, as if it's not bad enough already. And shame on the Biden family. I can't believe that they actually let him run for president. Everyone knew ahead of time that he had these terrible issues. And I just can't imagine what kind of family would allow their family member and put them out in the world spotlight like that when their mental condition is so bad. But we know who the Bidens are because look at Hunter Biden. I mean, things are rough in the Biden family. And Hunter Biden is a perfect example of it.
Marjorie, who do you think was responsible? Who do you think was the leading force within the family to get him to run?
Probably Hunter Biden. I mean, obviously, he's been the one that benefits the most from his dad's political career. And we've seen it over and over between Ukraine and now China. And if you watch what the Democrats do, everything benefits China. So I think we have a lot of investigations to do when Republicans take back the House, especially into the Biden crime family, Hunter Biden's laptop and all of Hunter Biden and his uncle. Don't forget Joe Biden's brother. We can't leave him out in their different business deals and business relationships in China and other foreign countries. But that's just my opinion based on a lot of things that I've seen and things that we all know to be true.
Yes, and very disturbing things. And I'm with you. It just seems to me someone in the family should have stepped in and said, you know what, this is, you know, it's just not going to happen. This can't happen. And no one was willing to say that. And I think, honestly, I was surprised to hear you say Hunter Biden. I always felt that Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden was the one who was really calling the shots there.
Well, maybe she's calling the shots now. And she certainly, maybe they're all benefiting. I don't know. I just think it's shameful. I would never put my husband or anyone in my family in that type of situation to be the fall guy for the Democrats' failures. And that's exactly what they're making him to be, is the fall guy for everything that they're failing to do. We know these aren't Joe Biden's ideas, even though he's the one, the puppet on the stage saying them. It's the entire Democrat Party. And that's why Democrats must be defeated in 2022, because they've completely failed America. They have no good ideas, and they certainly don't care about putting America first.
So, Marjorie, a few moments ago, Senator Ted Cruz was grilling the FBI, and we're not going to play this audio, but it's fascinating. He asked them every question that needed to be asked about the FBI's involvement in January the 6th. And question after question, the FBI just refused to answer. What does that tell you about the FBI's involvement that day?
Well, I think what that tells me is maybe Ted Cruz was watching Matt Gaetz and I's press conference here in Washington, D.C. on January 6th when we were the only Republicans in town. You know, I've been leading the fight into asking questions on what really happened on January 6th, going to the D.C. jail where pre-trial January 6th defendants' due process rights are being violated, where no one seems to care about their human rights, and we have a two-tiered justice system in this country. I'm glad that Ted Cruz decided to stop calling people there on January 6th terrorists and started asking the real questions of who are the terrorists, and is Ray Epps one of them? That would be the real question, and how, what is his involvement in the FBI? Because if we have the FBI involved in any shape, way, or form of planning or sending people into the Capitol, sending people in where they're fighting with police, then I would say that's the government terrorizing the American people, not the other way around. So I'm glad that Ted Cruz was asking the hard questions. I'm glad he's finally on the real message and looking into things that are going on. We need every single Republican to take that up, because Democrats are going to use January 6th to be their biggest issue going into 2022 to try to destroy Republicans. And one of the ways they're going to be doing it, Todd, is Mark Elias, the famous nasty, nasty attorney that represents Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams. Mark Elias has launched a plan that I would call an insurrection to disqualify Republican members of Congress and probably ultimately to try to disqualify President Trump himself. What they're doing is they're going to try to claim that we had something to do with the riot that happened on January 6th, which we had nothing to do with it. We didn't benefit from that riot, because all that riot did was completely stop all the hard work we had done to object to Electoral College votes, which is our constitutional, very legal, not violent method as members of Congress. But the Democrats, they have a much bigger plan, and I would call it the Democrat insurrection of the next election.
You see, this is, I'm glad you brought that up, because, again, it never made any sense. You guys that were in the chamber trying to do things the right way, the legal way, the constitutional way, that was completely upended by the lawlessness that happened. So that in my mind tells me there was somebody behind the scenes that wanted to stop you guys from following through with your constitutional obligations on that day. And the FBI looking mighty suspicious. And Marjorie, we mentioned this earlier in the program. It's as if the pipe bombs at the RNC and DNC headquarters never happened. I mean, they want you to completely forget about that.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to talk about the pipe bombs. And that was one of the biggest news stories. The supposed pipe bombs were at the RNC and the DNC. So you see, that takes away the whole narrative that it was that there was something going on with Republicans.
Right.
If Republicans had done that, why would they put pipe bombs at the RNC? None of it makes sense. And no, we didn't benefit from the riot. Actually, I was really angry about the riot. I was upset by it. I was shocked by it. And I was angry that it interrupted all of our hard work. We were finally going to show there was election fraud, and real Americans signed their names at the risk of perjuring themselves in a court of law on affidavits. We were going to let their voices be heard, but the riot interrupted it. So the only people that benefited from the riot on January 6th are the Democrats, not Republicans, not Republican voters, not all the peaceful people that were in Washington, D.C. that day, and certainly not President Trump. So this whole thing smells really stinky, completely bad. And I think we're finally on track. I'm glad that Ted Cruz is asking the real questions that need to be asking. Now I'm excited. I hope that the rest of our Republican conference in the House and the rest of the Republican senators will get on board and stop being scared to talk about January 6th. And let's ask the real questions and figure out what happened that day.
Marjorie, real quick, Rachel Maddow over at MSDNC yesterday broke the news. Fulton County District Attorney there in the Atlanta area. There are rumblings that they may be working up criminal charges against the president for election tampering. They're telling us that the Trump attorneys have been meeting with the district attorney's office. Are you hearing any news about this? You have any insight into what the heck is going on there?
Well, I've heard the same report that you just quoted from her. Oh, I mean, I don't want to misgender Rachel Maddow. I'm not sure how she feels about that, or him or her or whatever. But yeah, I mean, we've heard a little bit about that. It's just more of the playbook of the Democrats. This is what they do. They use the court to try to basically change the laws. They do everything they can to put bad news into the press so they can ruin people's reputations, so they can hopefully put propaganda into the news and persuade the American people that President Trump did something that he absolutely did not do. None of the people in his administration did anything to do to try to meddle with elections. None of this happened whatsoever. The real question is why do Democrats run away from investigating elections? If they care about truth, then they would not be concerned about election investigations or us trying to audit anything. They would say, yeah, let's open this up and see who won. Because if Joe Biden was the most popular president in history and received more votes than Barack Obama or President Trump or anyone, then they certainly wouldn't be concerned about investigating what really happened. But you know what? They're terrified of the truth because they don't want the American people to really know that, yeah, there was probably very much a lot of election fraud in 2020. And I believe President Trump won, and I'll never stop saying it. So if President Trump had organized an insurrection, the last thing he would do would be to send in an actor that wears like bullhorns on his head, that's a vegan with no weapons, to lead some crazy insurrection that would mess up Republican members of Congress's chance to object to Joe Biden's Electoral College vote, and then to really expose what happened. This is such a scam, and the American people should reject it, and shame on any media company that keeps telling the big lie, which is that January 6th was an insurrection.
All right, Marjorie, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you sharing your pronoun hospitality with Rachel Maddow. Very, very gracious of you. So,
well, thank you. Thank all you right. for that.
Yeah, I'm he, him, by the way. So, all right.
Yeah, I'm she, her, and there's only two genders, Todd. So thanks so much for having me today.
All right, Marjorie, God bless, and go dogs.
Go dogs. All right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, everybody. Wow. You know, heads just exploded over at Media Matters headquarters with that interview, Grace. I'm wondering what publication will be coming after us first.
I thought it was so funny that she just said her joke and then just kept going.
Just kept
like, there was
going.
No, like, cracking up. It just, you know, just same tone. And it's like, wait a minute, did I just hear her correctly?
You know, but in her defense, you know, that's the thing now. You know, you're supposed to announce your pronouns. And
no, that's true.
You don't want to assume, because if you do, you could get yourself in trouble, right? That's what they tell us, right?
That's true.
By the way, I'm not going to dwell on this. I just want to point something out here about the left and how they treat the children of lawmakers. Now, remember back in the day, the Obama girls were off limits. Period. You couldn't even look at them, or
really?
You'd be crucified in the media. Yeah, I mean, they don't. They did not allow any coverage. I mean, they were very protective. Then look at what happened with poor Barron Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, they just, I mean,
that was terrible.
The horrible things they said about that kid. Poor young man.
Yep.
Now, according to the LGBTQ Nation, that's some big gay website, and they have broken a story about Senator Cruz's 13-year-old daughter.
I saw this.
Coming out as bisexual on her TikTok. Two things here. First of all, moms, dads, get your kid off TikTok. Get them off that crap.
Well, she's 13.
She's 13 years old. It's kind of like Kellyanne Conway's daughter.
Yes. I mean, at least till they're off to college, then I guess they can
the
decide.
Demon seed, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, the kids go through, you go through a rough patch, a crazy patch.
Like, they I'm shouldn't lie, I'm on TikTok, and there's some, I mean, 13-year-olds shouldn't be on TikTok.
No, you should. No,
no way.
No.
A lot of adults don't need to be on TikTok.
So now they're celebrating the fact that the Senator Cruz's 13-year-old daughter is coming out as bisexual. This is child abuse.
Yes, I agree.
And it's exploitation, and quite frankly, it's predatory.
Agreed.
Because there are some grown-ass adults who are prowling around checking out this child's TikTok, and I got a problem with that.
It's creepy.
You know, leave the kids alone. Leave the kids. I don't care, Republican, Democrat, whatever. Leave the kids alone. I mean, that's just sickening. All right. Oh, we got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, Grace, in the next hour, not that we have a transgender theme hour, but we're going to have a couple of stories. Dr. Fauci is messing around with monkeys. He's monkeying around with the monkeys.
First the beagles, now the monkeys.
That's right. Puppy killer. Puppy killer Fauci.
I have not forgotten, and I will not forget. No,
good for you. And you should not forget. So now, apparently, he's turning monkeys into, it's sort of like conversion therapy for monkeys. So he's taking straight monkeys, and he's turning them into, sort of like little boy monkeys will then identify as little girl monkeys.
Oh, gosh.
Or monkeyettes. What do they call the female monkeys?
I don't know. Monkeys.
I don't know. Monkeys. I'm not into the primate. You know, there's a whole subculture. I watched Planet of the Apes. Have you seen that?
No. It's
frightening how realistic could be. But anyway, so we'll get into that. And also, what do you do if you're out on a date and you find out that your date is not who you thought your date was?
Man, I'm so glad I'm not in the dating world anymore.
Right?
This is getting complicated.
Oh, it's very terrible. It's really complicated.
Could you imagine having, that's like, you already got to worry about, you know, the person being a stalker or a weirdo, fake person with a double life, has a girlfriend, and then to add that to the list.
And then, so you're, you know, if you're taking out a woman, she may not be a woman. And then you're the person that's the bad guy. And I mean, but we're going to take it. This is a real thing. So they're actually providing you what to do in the event that you go out with a man who turns out to be a woman and vice versa.
Need some time to prep for this.
Jesus. Yeah. Don't want to be mucking around like that. All right. Stick around, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Hope you're doing great today. President Biden on his way down to Georgia with the Vice President. And he is about to declare war on the filibuster and urging Democrats to remove the filibuster, which will clear the way for the Democrats' radical progressive agenda in the U.S. Senate. It is a very dangerous thing. We're going to be following those developments throughout the day. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Lots of great information for you to check out there, and I would encourage you to do that. We have a great team of writers led by our managing editor, Caleb Park, and we are on our way to a record month on ToddStarnes.com. Well over 2 million people going to the website and checking out our content. So thank you guys for helping us spread the word. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There is a big story developing out of Washington, D.C., where lawmakers are very concerned about these vaccine mandates. So as it now stands, you have to show proof of vaccination to enter all sorts of public buildings within the District of Columbia. And our good friend, Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina, has a problem with that. He is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, good to have you back.
Well, great to be back, Todd. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So let's get to this. So what concerns do you have about Mayor Muriel Bowser?
Well, Todd, Mayor Bowser is typical government overreach. I mean, here she is, mayor of a city. The budget is right at $17.5 billion, paid for by the taxpayers. $2.5 billion of that is the federal government. But you know, for her to issue this mandate to the restaurants in this town, you've got, I mean, any sitting establishment, and to have to provide the vaccine that is as controversial as it is ludicrous. And it's not like the businesses all over this country hadn't been affected with the revenue, with so many of them shut down. And for her to do this is insane, but it's typical Democrat socialist overreach, in my opinion, and many others.
I'm curious how things are going in your home state of South Carolina. Are folks pretty much living their lives as they did pre-pandemic?
You know, I think the fact that Henry McMaster, the governor, kept us operating. He didn't shut businesses down. He let businesses do what businesses should do, do what they feel is best. And if they want to mandate a test, they can do it, but it's not mandatory. And so South Carolina, like Florida and other states, has remained relatively open. And are they back to pre-pandemic? No, because you got a lot of workers who, you know, not back to work, and it's taking a toll on the workforce. But by and large, it's not government mandated like Mayor Bowser's doing.
And that's a big challenge for a lot of states. We are seeing a mass exit of people, a great migration from places like New York, places like California, Illinois, and people are relocating. They're just tired of the mandates, and they're tired of the government overstepping their responsibilities.
Well, Todd, you wouldn't believe, in South Carolina, the license plates that I pass on a daily basis when I'm in district, New York, New Jersey, California, but it goes with the statistics. California's losing 402,000 people. New York is losing about the same amount. They're not staying, and they're coming to states that are, you know, that are open for business and low taxes, and promote quality businesses, in which those two states are not. And I'm just glad that we've got the leadership that we do, but we've got to keep it. A lot of times people from, you know, the liberal-run states want to bring the politics with them, and it makes no sense. The reason they left is because of the bad politics.
No, and the key here is making sure they don't pack the bad politics in the U-Haul.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I tell people now, we've got such an opportunity, as bad as things are going, to get our voice back. Just like I urge all the businesses in Washington to voice their opinion. Tell Mayor Bowser, write her. I mean, she works for the taxpayers. The taxpayers don't work for her. And these mandates makes no sense. And you can't give these people power. And I think the next time, as happened in Virginia and almost happened in New Jersey, people are going to say votes matter. Who we put in office matters. And we got to take back the government, because they simply have no business doing what they're doing.
None whatsoever, Congressman, none whatsoever. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from South Carolina, Congressman Ralph Norman. Hey, Congressman, did you catch any of the big football game last night?
Yes, I sure did. It's funny you mentioned that. I was very public. I had actually wagered on the great Alabama team, and it didn't turn out. I'm glad it was two southern states. Two southern colleges that played great game, but Georgia's had a good team.
You know, it was at first sort of a ho hum game, and then it turned into a humdinger of a game. And I'm a Tennessee fan, so I really didn't have a dog in the hunt other than the Southeastern Conference. It was a great game, and I was kind of glad to see the Georgia Bulldogs pull it off.
Well, when you saw the quarterback, the history that, his history of being a walk-on, that's it. That's America. That's putting your name on the line, and in this case, going for a team and achieving the heights of the sport, football. And so it was good. Great game all the way around, and I'm sure we'll see those two teams a lot in the coming years.
Curious, what did you have to wager there, Congressman, if you want to share?
my son got very boisterous over some scotch, to be honest with you. So it's $1,500.
Holy cow.
Oh, that's why I'm a poor man now. I'm very poor. I don't know what I'm going to do.
All right.
We'll come out.
If I'm back in your district, Waffle House is on me, Congressman. So.
Hey, that's good. Hot dogs and Waffle House.
Oh, there you go now. There you go. All right. Well, Congressman, always good having you on the program, and thank you again.
Thank you so much, Todd. Thank
all
you.
All right. See Congressman you. Ralph Norman. $1,500. Wow. Holy cow. I thought it was like, you know, I don't know what the, you know, maybe some barbecue or some, I don't know, potato salad or whatever. Grits. South Carolina is one of the grits capitals of the world. Maybe that's what they're going to wager it. But there you go. By the way, speaking of that game, did you hear any of the play? Grace, did you watch the game last? I know you're a big sports fan. Did you watch any of the game last night?
Okay, actually, I didn't watch the game. I, like, kind of kept up with it, but I was hanging out with my friend that I love her to death, but she does not like sports, so we didn't watch it.
Well, find another friend.
Oh, no! She's, like, she's my best friend.
Okay, well, all right, well, I suppose so. Well, anyway, did you hear this little item from the ESPN anchors? Let's take a listen. Okay, we don't have it, but we'll try to get that back when we come back from break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies, organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. So they not only share our beliefs, but they're doing something about it. You say, what do you mean by that, Todd? Well, it's very simple. Now, if you are with one of the other guys out there, they take some of the money that you, when you pay your bill, they'll take some of that money and they will send it to the Democrat Party. They'll send it to Planned Parenthood. They'll send it to Greenpeace. You name it. The ACLU, but not Patriot Mobile. Because as America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, they support causes that we care about as conservatives. Second Amendment groups, religious liberty organizations. And by the way, Patriot Mobile, they've, and I get it. I've seen the emails. You are, well, that's great, Todd, but does it work? Is it really a good service? Yes, it is. They use the same towers that the other carriers use, but beyond that, they have a plan to fit any budget along with incredible discounts for our veterans and first responder heroes. And if you call in right now and use my promo code Todd, you're going to get free activation and a free gift. All you need to do is go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. You get a special discount, free premier activation by using the promo code Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or 972-PATRIOT. All right. So where is the we're going to talk about this Dr. Fauci story in just a moment. The TSA has now released the top 10 list of unusual items that they found at airport checkpoints in 2021. Now, I will say this. I have never been a fan of the touching sensitive areas people, and I'm still not. I believe that it is a gross violation of the U.S. Constitution. What happens to American citizens when you walk into that airport? And it doesn't matter if you're in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. It doesn't matter if you're in San Antonio. It's all the same. It's as if you surrender your civil liberties, your constitutional rights, when you walk through the front door of the airport. It's frightening. And every single time that I'm at the airport, and before the China virus, I was flying on a very regular basis. I was a Diamond Medallion status at Delta Airlines, which, and all that means is I flew a lot of miles. But every single time I would walk into the airport, I would just, I feel uneasy. I feel weird. It's just like you are in a foreign country where you have surrendered your civil liberties. And I blame all of that on two people, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. They're the ones that came up with the Patriot Act. They're the ones who told the American people, two Republicans, told the American people, convinced the American people that we needed to give up some of our freedom so that we could be safe. And I contend that when you give up any of your freedom, any amount of your freedom, you are in danger. Period. To this date, the TSA, the touching sensitive areas people, have yet to stop any terrorist attack on American soil. Period. That's it. None. But what they are doing is causing mayhem. They're treating you like you're some sort of a common criminal. They have manhandled and fondled more grandmothers and small children than we care to talk about on this radio program. That's what the TSA has done. And I've gotten accosted a few times by TSA authorities. And they're very upset because they say they're just doing their jobs. Well, so were the stormtroopers. They were just doing their jobs too. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little sick and tired of people who are infringing upon the constitutional rights of their fellow citizens, and they just shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, just earning a paycheck. I'm just doing what they tell me to do. That's my little soapbox speech when it comes to the TSA. Anyway, they've released the top 10 list of unusual items that they have confiscated at the TSA checkpoints. And here we go. Number 10, this happened over in our good friend Harry Hurley's neck of the woods, Atlantic City International Airport. They found bullets in a stick of deodorant. So somebody actually shoved bullets into the deodorant, thinking that they would make it through the TSA scanners. Number 9, a pistol was discovered at Newark International Airport. Now, this is fascinating. Number 8 on the list, Hobby International Airport, that's over in Houston. And someone decided that they would be clever and they would stuff methamphetamines into a burrito. So they call it a meth burrito. Number 7 on the list, Honolulu International Airport, a firearm buckle. Harrisburg International Airport in Pennsylvania, a cleaver. In Destin, Florida, Fort Walton Beach, someone tried to sneak bear spray onto the airplane. Reagan National Airport, someone tried to sneak a machete on board. Fireworks at Syracuse International Airport. Now, this is what kills me here, and this is why the TSA sucks. Sacramento International Airport, someone tried to get on board an airplane with a gun-themed wine holder. So keep in mind, it was not an actual gun. It was a gun-themed wine holder. And apparently, that is against the law. That's against the rules at the TSA checkpoint. But the number one item of the top 10 unusual things that the TSA has confiscated at airport checkpoints happened at New Orleans International Airport. And if you haven't been to that airport, by the way, I will say this. It's a beautiful airport, brand new, and they have some of the best airport food in all of America. But it's still a creepy place because of the TSA rules. But the number one item confiscated was at New Orleans International Airport. It was a chainsaw. Now, it seems to me you would want to check the chainsaw. That might be, can you fit it? What are you going to do? Put it in the overhead compartment? I don't know. But that's where that's the top 10 list from the TSA, the touching sensitive areas people. All right, this item from the Daily Mail. A Christian nurse was fired after she wore a crucifix to work. She has now gotten her job back. She was forced out of a South London hospital because she is a person of faith, and she wore a crucifix. Many of you wear religious jewelry, and this 61-year-old nurse certainly did the same thing. As she pointed out in her lawsuit against the government, that it was okay for the hospital nurse for Muslim nurses to wear their garb. So the Muslim nurses could wear the hijabs, they could wear the burqas. As a matter of fact, some of the hospital staff actually went to mosque four times a day. Yet her cross was considered inappropriate for the hospital setting. Mary Anuhu says that her small gold cross has been worn around her neck every day of her life since she was a child, a symbol of her devout faith. Quote, every time I look at it, I think of Jesus, his love, how much he loved me, and the need for me to love him back. And she was fired when she refused to take off the cross. So I say, good for her, good for this lady, who said, you know what, this is nuts. If the Muslims can wear their stuff, if the Muslims can go pray four times a day on the job, then by golly, I should be allowed to wear a crucifix around my neck. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, you see, those of you watching us on our live stream feeds, you can see our book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. You can get yourself a copy at our website. We'll be right back, folks. Back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Don't forget, sign up for the newsletter. Over a quarter million of our listeners now subscribe to the Todd Stearns newsletter. Comes out every day and is just chock full of great stories, information that you will not find anywhere else. So you can do that again, toddstearns.com. So look, many of you have either heard of or attended a Let Us Worship rally. They've been held all over America. Sean Foyt is the founder of that incredible movement and is just doing some incredible work. Wonderful musician. And he's been writing a book. He signed a contract with HarperCollins and a big publishing house there in New York City, and got word that HarperCollins has canceled his book. Sean Foyt is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Sean, good to have you with us. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was a surprise. You know, I had signed a deal with HarperCollins, and we had been moving forward on this book since November, beginning of November, and we had a manuscript that's due the end of this month. So just a few days ago, we were even discussing cover options, title options. And they contacted me yesterday, said that they were going to drop the book. They said that it was too, my views were too political, or they didn't agree with my political views. They had some internal issues with their marketing team, and specifically two people on their marketing team that came to the boss crying, saying that they refused to market my book.
Is that right? What? All right. So I want to back up here. Do you know what division of HarperCollins was going to publish the book?
Thomas Nelson, I believe. I don't know. I guess the division of HarperCollins that does these books, kind of their faith division.
Sure. Okay. And Thomas Nelson, and a lot of people might remember, Thomas Nelson used to be an independent publishing house that was absorbed into HarperCollins, which is, and I'm not sure if they are still owned by Fox News Channel, but they are one of the top publishing houses in America. Now, Sean, did you sign a contract with HarperCollins?
Yeah, we have a deal memo that was signed in early November, and what that deal memo is it's something agreed to by both parties, and it goes through the scope of the book, the distribution of the book, the signing bonus of the book, the deadlines, the premise, and really is the beginning of starting the entire project. And so we signed that in November, and we were working with their agent every single, you know, really even up until 3-4 days ago.
And did they, you know, and typically in a lot of these cases, they will give you a book advance. And I don't know, in my case, I published with Simon & Schuster, and you'll get a portion of that when you sign, a portion when you turn in the manuscript, and then you get the rest of it when the book actually comes out. Was there any sort of a financial transaction between you and HarperCollins?
No, they had not yet sent or come up with or sent over the first part of that distribution. We agreed upon an amount and the breakdown of that amount. And I don't know if that's why they were withholding because of this issue. I don't know exactly what happened.
So so tell our listeners, what was the book about, and what was the working title?
Well, we're working, the book is about boldness, it's about courage, it's really about bold faith, and which I think is just, you know, the irony behind this is pretty thick, you know, that we would be writing this book about boldness and courage, and, you know, one title we were throwing around was Fear Not, you know, and just in this era of intimidation and fear and the pandemic and the paranoia and then cancel culture, and all this kind of stuff, you know, that God was raising up people with boldness and how that boldness would translate into all aspects of your life. You know, how do we raise our children in boldness in an era of, you know, where they're trying to tell them there's 87 genders? How do we, you know, how do we have bold relationships, even in places where we disagree? How do we carry bold faith in the midst of a culture that wants to silence us? You know, that was kind of the theme, is how that boldness, and then it was correlating to my story, which you alluded to in the beginning of the program, of how we've taken Let Us Worship across 150 cities in America, and we're really seeing revival breaking out every city that we go to. And we've had incredible amounts of resistance. And so, you know, it was the story of Let Us Worship, but also the story of how, you know, this is not just about an event, this is about a lifestyle of boldness.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Sean Foyt, who is facing a bit of controversy with HarperCollins. Sean, I'm curious, when they called you, when they reached out to you, did they specify what set off these marketing workers, employees, that made them cry?
I'm not really sure. I don't know what the specifics were. I just think that it's wild that it points to an era in America where you can have woke workers, woke liberal workers that can actually steer and call the shots for giant companies like this. You know, it wasn't like that we hadn't put in work. It wasn't like that we had gone through a good bit of the premise in the manuscript. It wasn't like they didn't know my political affiliation and the fact that, you know, I had President Trump give an address at something, and then I recently had DeSantis at a New Year's event in Florida. It wasn't like they didn't know that. And so it was just like these woke employees got so loud and so annoying to them that they just folded. And that, to me, Todd, I feel like is the bigger story.
No, I'm with you here, and again, I mean, why would, you know, we work, there's a publisher at my publishing house, you know, I pitch books, they either accept or reject, and they have, if they accept, the whole team gets behind it, and it's no business of the marketing team whether or not, you know, something is good or not.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly the issue here, and you know, with the publisher this big, you know, the first or second biggest in America, in the world, you wouldn't think that they would allow the rudder of their ship to be turned by a bunch of woke employees. That's the part to me that I don't understand. And I asked them that question And they said, well, if we don't have a marketing team behind you and doesn't believe in your book, then, you know, then it's really hard for us to, for them to get excited about it. And I said, well, why don't they just do the job that you tell them to do? Do they have to agree with every single book that comes across that they market?
How about, well, anyway, yeah, just how about more. This, Sean? How about this? You know what? I don't care if you don't like the book. I don't care if you like Sean. You've got a job to do. We pay you to do that job. And if you don't want to do that job, you can pack your bags and walk on out the door.
That is 100% my thought. And that's what's so wild about this, Todd, is that we are allowing these companies, these corporations, it's not just with me, you know, I'm a victim of it too, but, you know, and by the way, God, this message will get out. And I believe that the resistance to this message only proves how much we really need it, you know? But we're seeing this start to happen in these big companies, in these big corporations, and they're folding. The leadership is folding to the demands of the few that are whining. And I just think it's bad for America. It's bad for business. It's bad for where we're going as a nation.
Well, it's really sad, and I'm sorry to hear this. I'm not surprised, and this has happened to other authors out there. So, Sean, we want to wish you the best of luck. I'm going to reach out to my publisher over at Simon & Schuster and, you know, see if they might be, you know, might be willing to chat with you about what happened, and maybe we can rectify this. But this is absolutely unacceptable, and you keep us informed on what happens.
I appreciate it, Todd. Thanks so much for having
me
on.
All right, Sean Foyt, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, just a couple of weeks ago, he was down in Florida doing a big worship event. You might remember this. They actually prayed over Governor DeSantis and his wife, who has been struggling with cancer, and it was a beautiful moment. And you had AOC and all these horrible liberals out there, you know, criticizing the governor for taking time off to be with his wife at the hospital. And she's recovering from cancer. And so this guy, Sean, prayed over there. It was a beautiful prayer, a beautiful moment. HarperCollins and Fox News, it all used to be one company, and they split it up a couple of years back, and I haven't been paying that much attention. But Fox News and HarperCollins do have a partnership now. This is unacceptable. And again, if these two marketing staffers, if they've got a problem with Sean's book, they can take their concerns to the publisher. The publisher, I'm sure, will hear them out. But ultimately, the person calling the shots on what books they are or are not going to publish, that is the job of the publisher, not a couple of junior-level woke marketing executives. Look, this would have been resolved very quickly had I been in charge, because I would have hauled the marketing people inside. I said, what's going on here? Give them a Kleenex to dry their tears. And they probably would have, and you can only imagine, well, he doesn't use the right pronouns, and that makes me very hurt. It hurts my feelings, and he didn't ask me my pronouns. And this guy's a Christian, and that offends me. And he doesn't like Dr. Fauci. And how could you not like Dr. Fauci? He's almost like a god. I mean, how could you? This man's a horrible man. And we can't be a part of this. Okay, fine. You're telling me that you can't do your job. No, we can't do our jobs because we can't promote this. It's terrible. It's just awful. It hurts our feelings. It triggers us. I'm triggered. And I don't know what to do. All right, calm down. Here's a whole box of Kleenex. Just dry your tears. Oh, thank you, Mr. Starnes, but I don't know what to do. This book offends me. Well, maybe you don't have to read the book. But I got to, because I had to market the book, and I got to read this. So you're telling me that you won't do your job. You won't market this book. You won't go out there and promote it and send out.
I just can't. It would violate my beliefs.
I see. Well, might I have a suggestion for you?
Yes, Mr. Starnes, what should I do? They didn't teach us how to deal with this in college. They didn't. I don't know what to do.
All right, all right, all right. Well, let me explain what to do. You're going to put down the Kleenex because, you know, I bought that. And you're going to stand up and you're going to go back to your cubicle and you're going to pack your bags and you're going to walk downstairs. As a matter of fact, we'll have a couple of security officers just to help you out the door so you don't get lost. And then a little marketing person, we're going to invite you to walk out the front door and never come back.
Wait, what, Mr. Dunn? Are you firing me?
Yes, yes, little marketing person, I am firing you. Because if you can't do the job that I hired you to do, then what good are you to this company?
That's very mean.
Yes, yes, it may be mean, little marketing person, but you know what? Don't care. We've got a job to do here. This is a business. I don't care about your feelings. Your feelings don't matter here. You've got a job. You're either going to market Sean's book or you're gone. Your choice.
Well, that's not very nice. That's not very fair.
Life's not fair. So I'll tell you what, I'll make it simple. Out of here. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's what I would have done. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Folks, you know the drill. MyPillow banned from all of the big box stores in America, but they're not banned from us. As a matter of fact, we have a special store, MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And if you go there, you will see all sorts of amazing deals, great discounts. Valentine's Day just around the corner, a great opportunity to get that special conservative in your life, something very nice from MyPillow. You say, well, Todd, we've already got pillows. Doesn't matter. They've got 150 other great products. You got to try the slippers. Amazing. They've got the doggy bed. They've got the bathrobes and, of course, full beds. I mean, if you really want to go that in that direction, it's unbelievable. But let's take, for example, the classic standard MyPillow, normally $70. It's only $19.98 with my promo code. So you've got to use my promo code. That is Starnes. And if you do, they're going to give you some incredible discounts. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or give them a call, 800-544-8939. That's 800-544-8939. All right, can we talk about Dr. Fauci for just a moment here? So according to the reporting of The Blaze, Dr. Anthony Fauci used over $200,000 of our tax money to stick monkeys with a jab. They're jabbing monkeys, and they're giving them transgender hormones. No, I'm not making this up. This is the lead sentence. The government agency led by White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci paid scientists to give money transgender hormones. Over $200,000. Researchers gave male monkeys feminizing hormone therapy to investigate whether female hormones make their immune system more vulnerable to HIV infection. Now, the agency also awarded nearly $300,000 for a project with the same name to SRIPS Research. Unbelievable. A scientist with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, blasted the study as yet another pointless, wasteful monkey torture experiment. It's just bad science to suggest that dosing monkeys with feminizing medication makes them good stand-ins for humans. This study will not help prevent or treat HIV and will not help transgender women. Now, I'm just curious here. Has anybody bothered to ask the monkeys if this is okay. I mean, what about, you know, again, it's that we just came out of the hashtag Me Too thing. I mean, did anybody bother to ask the monkeys if they had a problem with this? I mean, let's just say you had Carl the monkey, and Carl's very happy being a masculine monkey in the trees or wherever they live. I mean, at some point, maybe Carl is happy being a dude and hanging out with the, you know, with the babes, you know, the female monkeys, the monkeyettes, and vice versa. I don't know if they're doing it with the other way around here, but it just seems to me the monkeys would be pretty irritated. And I saw Planet of the Apes. I know how all of that turned out. And I'm telling you, I don't think the monkeys are going for this. All right, Weird Show. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Todd Starnes. Be good, America.